The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible, from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? Got a question? We want to encourage you to give us a call, 888 ASK CSN's the number to call, and we look forward to talking to you on this very nice Wednesday afternoon, this very warm Wednesday afternoon for most of southern Idaho. Man, it is pretty warm out. They're predicting, Jeff, 100 degrees or so tomorrow here in southern Idaho. This early in the year is crazy.
Joining us
is Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Church in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Hi and welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. I tell you what, better you than me. I hate 100 degrees plus. We're used to that in Texas. But I got a na-na-na-na-na-ya today. We're in the upper 70s, low 80s. It's beautiful, sunshiny. So how rare is that that in June, we're not already way into the 90s? But we're not. We've had rain and more rain and rain more and more rain. And it's just kept the temperatures cool. So hope you enjoy that heat, Mike. I'll pray for you.
Yeah. One thing good, it's dry heat, but that's a good thing. You know, Jeff, so many things going on in the world right now. And, you know, we just want to just let everybody know you're loved. And if you need someone to talk to, hey, that's why we get together every weekday afternoon. And that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. And we just love to have you be part of the program today. With that, we have Karen on the line, and let's go to Karen, York, Pennsylvania. Hi and welcome.
Hi, I'm calling with a prayer request. I would like prayer for Leah, an 18-year-old Nigerian girl, was captured several years ago by terrorists when she was only 14. She hasn't been released because she's a Christian, and she refuses to convert to Islam, and she's been forced to have two children by her captors. And Jay Sekulow's organization is involved in her case and has been involved in her case for quite a while now. And I would just like prayer for her freedom and for the freedom of her two children.
Yes, let's pray for her right now. Jeff, why don't you lead us in prayer for this Christian
yes.
sister that is in absolutely horrific conditions right now.
Yes. Lord, we just join with Karen to pray for Leah. Lord, what a terrible thing to have to go through, to endure. Lord, as the Bible predicted, we're living in a time where natural affection is gone, when people are truly animalistic. And Lord, Leah has been captured by this terrorist organization and horribly abused. And we just pray for her, Lord. We know that your spirit is not bound by time or distance. We know that right now, as we pray, you can touch her in Nigeria. And we do pray for her. We pray that you will give her grace, give her peace. Of course, Lord, we pray for her deliverance. We pray that you will literally deliver her from the hands of these terrible individuals. Father, we give her case to you. We present her situation to you, and we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, God.
That you will be there with her. She will sense the supernatural peace that passes all understanding, and will know that, Lord, in the midst of this incredibly horrible trial, that you're with her. She's not alone. Your love is there. Your presence is there. And Lord, we pray, do something, act, Lord, and in acting, deliver her. And we just hold her up into your hands and we thank you for it in the mighty name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And Karen, yes, keep her in our prayers and all those listening. I think that's a good thing to do. You know, sometimes we don't realize how dark the world really is. And when you realize, you know, Victor Mark's program that comes on at 5:30, really part of his ministry is to go set these women free and these kids free that these drug cartels and these slave traders have captured. And it gets violent sometimes, but you know, he said, you know, we're what you sometimes put in feet to the faith. You know, we're out there on the front line, and incredible ministry. But man, I'll tell you what horrific things people have gone through. We just need to continue to pray for them. So, Karen, our prayers are with you, dear.
Thank you much.
God bless you, and thanks so much for the call, because, again, we need to keep those things in mind. 8888, Ask the Ascends, the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And, Jeff, very quickly, what are you teaching on Sunday morning?
Well, let me just start with tonight. I'm beginning a walk through the book of Romans tonight. Very excited about that. You know, Mike, because of COVID, we haven't met live on Wednesday nights. And I can't believe when I say this, it's been a year since we met live on a Wednesday night. And but tonight we're kicking back in again, and we're starting with an incredibly rich journey through the book of Romans. I'm going to be teaching the whole book, 16 weeks worth at least. You know, how do you teach, for instance, Romans 1 in one night? So even though there's 16 chapters in Romans, I think it's going to take me a little longer than 16 weeks. So you take Romans 1 or Romans 9 about the sovereignty of God and Israel and all of that, and I'm going to have to split up those chapters. But we're going to begin tonight. We're giving out notebooks and with some beautiful graphic artwork on the front. And everybody's going to get the notes when they walk in each Wednesday night. And we're just going to gobble up the book of Romans, and I'm excited about it. You know, Romans, Mike, has been called the Himalayas of the New Testament epistles, and the zenith of Paul's writings. Of course, Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit, and everything he wrote was the word of God. But Romans is just a knock-it-out-of-the-park book.
Chapter 1. Chapter 1 is what I always tell everybody. You know, you ought to read that, because that's what God will bless a nation over, curse a nation over. And after you read Romans 1, you have to look what political party you line up with, which one is most closely related to Romans chapter 1 of what God will bless. Otherwise, you're going to bear the tyranny of it all. So the Bible is very clear. And again, for somebody new in the faith, Romans was written after Jesus had ascended to heaven. It was written after the church had been established. So it's very clear that this is not some kind of an Old Testament concept or some obscure concept in Christianity. It is like the very first chapter of Romans, when Paul is actually, you know, you could almost change the name of Romans to, you know, we have the book of Hebrews. Well, this would be the book of Gentiles. You know, that's kind of what it's about, because it's written to the Romans, which primarily were all Gentiles. So because of that, you have the book of Hebrews written primarily to the Jewish believing brethren, or those who would be believers. And then you have what you need to have mindful if you're coming out of a Gentile background concerning your Christian faith. But right out of the gate, chapter 1 is and I think this is what's so important, because, you know, sometimes when you write a book as an example, or you're inspired by God or something, the very first and foremost thing that comes to your mind is what really sets the tone for almost the rest of the book. And so Romans 1 is such a dynamic book of what God will bless and what God won't bless. And
you know, you're right. And quickly, when you read Romans 1, it is America's mail.
Amen.
I mean, if you want to see what has happened in America just since the 60s, Romans 1 is a roadmap. It is a diagnosis of what has happened to America. You know, the three turnings overs, when God turns over these Gentile peoples to three different things, and they're each more severe than the last one. And I read it and I go, wow, by the Holy Spirit, Paul just absolutely describes the collapse of a culture that forsakes God. It's really amazing. So, really looking forward to it, and excited about it. And so I head straight from Tema to church to keep on teaching. So I'm really immersed in Emmanuel labor today, Mike.
Amen. So anyhow, I think it's going to be great. Great study. We're going to go back to the phones. 888 Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Fort Worth with Kay. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I just have this question about Christians and drinking and what's acceptable. And I just am around a lot of people that's kind of their lifestyle, and I'm really not into it anymore. But anyway, that's kind of my main question.
Well, Proverbs 20 talks about, you know, that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and those that are deceived by it are not wise. I think that's pretty important. The Bible doesn't condone drinking, of course. It says not to get drunk. Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, you know, I don't know that I'm going to have very many agree with me here in the audience, but here goes. I don't drink. I don't touch it. I just don't. And it's a choice. I'm certainly not mandating it on people. As you said, Mike, the Bible doesn't condemn drinking per se. It heavily condemns drunkenness.
Yes.
But here's my thoughts. Alcohol is a drug. We know that. I mean, it's a drug. It's just one of many different drugs that you can put in your body. And so rather than haggling over should a Christian drink or not, I'd rather ask this question. Why do you want to? Like, if you're saying to me, Jeff, can a Christian drink? And Kay, I'm assuming when you say you're surrounded by drinkers, are these professing Christians?
Yes, actually. And actually, one of them is my husband, and it's like a huge concern for me. And I used to partake, and I used to go to the bars and all that, and I don't do that anymore. And I just people get mad at you for not wanting to go, and I'm just, that's not how I want to live. But my husband and all of his friends, and I'm just, I don't know.
And did I see here in your question, you said they go to happy hour?
Yes. And
okay. Let me just respond. This is me. Okay. Everybody has a choice. You know, like I said, you can have a glass of wine and the Bible is not going to condemn that. But when people say to me who are professing Christians, is it okay if I drink? Then my question is not, I answer the question with a question. Why do you want to drink? I mean, let's face it. There's one reason people drink alcohol, and that's you want the buzz. Even if it's one glass of wine, pretty much you want the buzz. Now, you may say, well, I like the taste of it and so on and so forth. But, you know, there's a lot of things that taste good that are not alcoholic. So you gotta kind of fess up and be honest and say, well, you know, I want the buzz. You know, even with one glass, it gives me a buzz. So then I say, all right, then why do you need that? Because I believe that the fullness of the Holy Spirit gives a buzz, but not that kind of a buzz, but joy, peace, you know, a sense of incredible fulfillment and happiness. It gives, you know, just be filled with the Spirit, be not drunk with wine, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, my second reason is I personally believe with every sip you take, you increase your chances of making a bad decision. Because alcohol...
Or becoming an alcoholic, too.
Yeah. And alcohol is a seducer. I mean, come on. The more you drink, every sip you take, your inhibitions are lessened. Your ability to make a godly decision is lessened. You begin to lose control of yourself. Alcohol takes away self-control. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You say, well, not one glass of wine. Well, I would disagree. I've seen people drink one glass of wine, and by the time they're done with it, they're silly. They're saying things that they would not normally have said without it. So if you were to ask me, Jeff, should I drink? I would say this. If you never drink alcohol, you will never be missing a thing. Because I think that it's a seducing, dangerous, inhibition reducing drug that, I mean, how many Christians, you know, wake up one morning and go, wow, I can't believe I went where I went, did what I did, said what I said, thought what I thought last night. And you didn't even have that much, but it affected you. So, and I would never tell, for instance, young Christian adults in their 20s, late teens, I would never advise them to drink. You know, I hear about churches, literally, I knew of one really large church in this area whose singles ministry took their young adults to a dance and to a bar. Mm-hmm. And everybody was drinking, and the young adult leader was there. And a very well-known, I'll never say the name, it doesn't matter, but a well-known church. And I thought, man, that is such a mistake. We ought to be teaching people how to get into the Word, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to get your fulfillment and your joy from the drink that Jesus said would you would never want a drink again. That is, I'm going to give you living water that will spring up into everlasting life. Now, I'd rather learn how to access that and enjoy that than anything alcohol can offer. That's my thoughts, Mike. I don't know yours.
We've no, I agree. I think that's you know, that's what the Bible says. But I've always told people, if you never drink, you'll never be an alcoholic. If you don't drink, you'll never have to worry about getting drunk. And those are where you run into all kinds of problems. Some will last your entire life. So I really believe that, again, the Bible talks about being instant in season and out of season. This is why the Bible very clearly, Timothy says, ministers are not to drink, period. Now, if you're not a minister, well, then you're not to get drunk, was what the Bible says. But I think for a couple of reasons for ministers. Number one, just as you said, it doesn't take a lot of alcohol to cloud your judgment. How can I be instant in season and out of season if I've got a bit of a buzz on, okay? So that's a problem. I'm going to be given bad advice. But number two, I think we also can damage our testimony. You know, there's Pastor Mike going through the checkout lane at the supermarket, and he's got enough booze in his cart to float a boat. You know, I really believe that we can really hurt our testimony because, again, you know, or, you know, I saw him with a beer in his hand. Well, is that number one beer or number four beer, you know? And how horrible to get pulled over of the DUI as a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, a layperson, you know? I remember a true story here in Twin Falls. It happened to my uncle, as a matter of fact. It was about my uncle. and he was a great dear man, loved Jesus. But I remember this lady, he told me the story. He was a Sunday school teacher here. And this, one of the kids in his school, I think he was teaching the sixth grade. And one of the kids got caught smoking. So you could put drinking in here, whatever you want to put in here. And he got caught smoking. And she, the mom, looked at her son and was ridiculing him. What would your Sunday school teacher say if he knew you were smoking? And he looked at his mom and said, well, he smokes. And mm-hmm. That was such a dynamic remark to my uncle when he heard the story repeated from the kid's mom to him. He said, I never smoked another cigarette in my life. He said it cut so deep.
Oh, yeah.
That he said, I felt so bad for this woman. He said, when I looked in her eyes, I saw the emptiness in her eyes looking at me as, you know, you let my son down. And he goes, it broke my heart. And so I think we need to be careful of those kinds of things. I hope that helps Kay, because, you know, being about our Father's business, I think, is so important. And I just don't have room for that in my life. I only drank probably two or three times in my life, one at my cousin's wedding. And one other time I had a half a can of beer in a jacuzzi in Las Vegas. And I just said, you know, God, I don't ever want to get involved with this stuff ever again. Because it's just not... I don't need that, and why the old saying, why do elephants drink? They want to forget. Well, that's the whole reason. I think if we can analyze why we do what we do instead of treating the symptom, but we actually treat the problem. Why do I what I drink? Why would I steal? Am I saying, well, I'm stealing because I don't believe God's going to really provide for me? And I'll be able to see his miracle working power in my life in spite of whatever poverty or whatever financial condition I'm in. See, that's where the exciting Christian life is where you see God's divine provision for you daily in your life. Well, if I look and say, well, why am I drinking? Am I drinking to fit in with these people? And if I am drinking to fit in with these people, why? Now, they accuse Jesus of being a wine bibber and socializing with the publicans and the sinners. But I don't believe Jesus was a drunken or anything like that. But I think that sometimes we have to be careful of the company we keep. And if I'm trying to impress friends that don't love God, but hey, man, you know, I can party with the rest of them, you know. Well, I think we might have a real problem here because it might be time for some new friends. And so a lot of times people think, well, it's not going to hurt me. A pastor friend of mine here in town, Pastor Hicks, years ago, he wrote a little track. And on the front of it, it says, alcohol will remove stains from your clothes. That's all. When you look at it, it was just, you know, and it showed some like a cleaning cleanser, you know, on a stain on some like Levi's or something. And you open it up and it says, yes, alcohol remove the stains from your clothes. Alcohol will also remove your clothes. It'll also remove the kids from your house. It'll remove your wife from your home. It'll remove your home from your home. And he went and listed all the things that alcohol has been so notorious for doing, you know. And so I look at that and I just think, you know, it's wise sometimes. And then the other advantage, health reasons. You're not killing your liver and you're preserving your pocketbook. So there's a couple of really good reasons why not to be getting blasted. And rather, I tell people, have an Ephesians 5th. That is, be not drunk with wine in excess. Be not drunk with wine where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, I hope that helps.
That's good.
Can I ask you to pray for my husband, please?
Sure. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We lift up Kay's husband to you. We pray, God, that you would bind Satan from his eyes, that he would see why he does what he does, and why it is not always the wisest thing. Your word says all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So therefore, we just ask you that you would give him wisdom and cause his eyes to be open of who am I trying to impress and why am I doing this? And Lord, we trust you for the very best. May you just supernaturally anoint him with your Holy Spirit, that he would see the difference between an unction from your Spirit and the spirits from a bottle, in Jesus' name. K-Stay Online, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you and your husband will enjoy, okay?
Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Robbie in Wenatchee, Washington.
Brothers, I've sat on this for years and years and years, and every time this subject comes up, I kind of bite my tongue, but I couldn't bite it anymore after today. The Bible's very clear about drinking and non-drinking, and if you watch the big documentary they're doing on us for Valley of Sin on Fox Nation, we were featured. I was an alcoholic before the Lord touched my life, and before I became a pastor over 35 years ago, which I still am. But my aunt used to hammer on us about this every holiday, Christmas time, and she was a wine drinker, moderate, very good Christian, Assembly of God, and I worked with the jail here in Wenatchee and the mission, so on and so forth over the years. But when the subject came up about drinking, and people say, well, there's nothing in the Bible that specifically says thou shalt not drink, and one day it was just like the Lord spoke to me one night, and I happened to read my Bible, and in Leviticus chapter 10, and then verse 9, I think it was, I don't remember exactly. I'm driving, and I pulled over just so I could call in and talk. But it talks about, and I always took it as them talking about the Levites. And I just happened to read through the whole thing and read it in context, like you always say. And it makes it very clear after you read the part about you shouldn't be drinking it, and it says you got to distinguish between the holy and the unholy. It makes it very clear that drinking is unholy. But then it goes in and it says, and you had to teach it to all the Israelites or the rest of your descendants forever. Not to the priests. It says descendants, to the children of Israel. And I finally, Christmas came around. My aunt, she said, oh, yes, something and something. And I said, Annie, Gail, I said, you need to take and read Leviticus chapter 10, I said, read it in context, and I said, you come back and tell me that's not telling you not to drink anymore.
Amen. And you know, I think what's so important is that when we look at what the Bible says, what we're trying to get out of a bottle, God gives us because he loves us. Coming up on a break, we'll be right back.
Can you imagine getting your college degree and graduating debt-free? Sound crazy? Here's great news. Calvary Chapel University is offering you a $12,000 scholarship on your degree program. And with this unique scholarship, you have a realistic way to graduate debt-free. Calvary Chapel University is the most affordable, fully accredited Christian online university in the United States. It's 100% online, so you can study wherever and whenever you want. Calvary Chapel University offers bachelor's degrees and master's in biblical studies with an emphasis in biblical counseling, Christian education, and several other fields, and with solid teachers like Skip Heitzig providing a quality education. This scholarship is available for a limited time. Call to see if you qualify. 877-27-BIBLE. That's 877-27-BIBLE. Or apply online at calvarychapeluniversity.com. CalvaryChapelUniversity.com. Apply today.
This is the Christian Satellite Network, broadcasting on almost 400 stations throughout the U.S., including multiple stations in Arizona alone. You can listen in great Arizona cities like Bullhead City, Phoenix, Yuma, Prescott, Cottonwood, and many more stations throughout Arizona and across the nation. A full station list is at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International. Inspired worship from the hearts of believers. This is CSN International.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon. Glad you've joined us and looking forward to answering some more questions. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Robbie in Washington. And Robbie, no, we all agree that alcohol is not one of the better things for humans, I think, as we watch so much of what goes on in the world today. It's really sad, but no, Robbie, thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
Well, God bless you and stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. And with that, we'll go to Caroline in South Carolina. Hi, welcome.
Hi. So my question is a follow-up to the lady that called just a minute ago asking about if it's okay for Christians to drink. I personally don't, and I have my convictions about that, but I was wondering, what would you say to somebody, because I've heard this a lot, who says that Jesus turned the water into wine, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've heard others even preach that it wasn't the same level of, like, what we're used to as wine, and it was more like they needed fermentation during those days because the water was bad, but I don't know how clear that is in my mind, and so if someone had that question, like, well, Jesus turned the water to wine, how would you answer that biblically? Because I'm not sure if he really turned it to the wine we're used to today, or if it was something else.
Well, the guest said it was the best. He said usually you bring the best wine out first, and when people have well drunk, then they bring out the inferior, because, you know, you're got a buzz on, you don't care. But they said, you've saved the best for last. And so I have to conclude that it was alcoholic. I think the major part of that first miracle that Jesus did, the first miracle Jesus did here on this earth was he took something new, water, and made it appear to be old wine because it takes time for it to ferment. The Bible says, John tells us, that all things were made by him, and without him, not anything that's made is made. And I look at the first miracle, really, Jesus did when he created the earth. He took something, I believe, new, maybe even it appeared to make it, maybe made it look old in some regard. I mean, well-seasoned, maybe it'd be a better word for it than old. We do know the earth has gone through a lot of traumatic changes, especially when the earth broke apart. A little guy named Peleg was named at that particular time. And also we remember the great flood. That would have a tremendous effect of the topography on our earth. But he took something new, and I believe he made it look old. That's probably why we have oil and these different things. But he did, in fact, I believe, turn water to wine. I don't have a problem with that. I think where the problem comes in is the abuse. And you can abuse anything. Look at food today. You see people and they got their, you know, box of Funyuns and they're just sitting there packing them down and, you know, and every other twisty doos and all the other things. And pretty soon they weigh 300 pounds. That's abuse. That's sin. That's gluttony. But see, we want to look at certain things. Now, is it true that you can eat a box of cornflakes or a box of crackers and still drive your car okay? Yeah, you can. But in the long term, it may affect your health as well in different areas. What I'm saying is that anything, I believe, can become a sin. And we need to be very, very careful. I've seen people worship the Bible. Oh, you know, we keep that on our living room table. That we don't ever set anything on the Bible. We never put a cup of water on the Bible. We never read it. We don't even know anything about it. But you know, we worship that Bible. It's good. I found people can make anything goofed up because it's part of our old sin nature. And the Bible says wine is for those who are dying. I can see, understand that. They give morphine today to people who are dying. We understand these things. But that doesn't mean that all, because all things are lawful, but not all things are the best for us. And I think we need to be very, very careful in how we walk in our relationship with God, not only for me, but also for those around me. The Bible says, woe to the man who offers his brother a drink. Pretty important. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a real question, and one that's been batted around for as long as Christianity has lasted. You look at this wedding that was going on. We need to take into account that it was a pretty typical wedding. I mean, Jesus was invited to this wedding. It probably had a pretty good crowd. His mother was there. You get the sense that it was sort of a well-to-do wedding. But then you also have to stop to think they had already thrown back all the wine that they had. So this was a drinking group. Now, you know, because by verse 3, the wine is gone. And so there was a lot of wine drinking going on, and this was absolutely for sure, you know, fermented wine. So here's what you have to ask yourself, and I do ask myself this. Would Jesus create something that would further inebriate an already at least semi-inebriated crowd? I'm not saying it wasn't fermented, but you know what? We don't know the level of fermentation. There are some that argue that modern methods of fermentation were not around back then. I don't know about that, because I know you could certainly get drunk back then, because there's all the scriptures forbidding it. But my question is, would the Lord Jesus, who wrote the Word of God, who was the Word of God, who was the holiest of holies, who never sinned, would he create something that would have further inebriated this already heavily drinking crowd? And I have to say, you know, just myself, I have trouble with that, because I know my Lord. He doesn't tempt us to do anything that is sinful. God tempteth no man, the Bible says. So Jesus being God, would he tempt men to drink? Because if it was that good and they already had thrown back lesser wine, then you got to believe that once they got this very best wine, they would have been guzzling it like there's no tomorrow. So would Jesus tempt them to drink something that would have made them drunk? I struggle with that. I don't know to what level it was fermented. I do know the word wine means fermented every time it's in the Bible, so I'm not trying to go where the Bible doesn't. But I will suggest that perhaps it was very, very lightly fermented, and it was the flavor of it, the excellent flavor of it, that made the master of the feast say, wow, you've kept the best till last. But, you know, I just have trouble believing that the one who will never tempt us would put temptation in the face of an entire wedding party to get further inebriated. That's my thoughts.
I agree. And so I think that's true. And so, Caroline, I hope that sheds some light on it.
It does. I think we just, every man needs to be convinced in his own mind, and, you know, everyone's answering for how they have lived. So it's not anything that I'm ever have been really tempted by, but I know others in my life and even grown children that have different view on that. So I just was asking to know how to answer that. But I appreciate your help and your answer with that today.
Well, Carolyn, God bless you. And again, that's what the Bible really says on it. The Bible just simply says, be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's what it says. But we can't just look at that verse only. We have to look at other verses as well concerning our testimony, I believe, concerning our judgment. I think there's a lot of things we do. But absolutely, Paul, writing to Timothy, says ministers are not to drink. That's what it says. And so I've seen people try to play bendy with the scriptures and can't do that. You know, I think there's a lot of responsibility in that, and I think that's why Paul wrote to Timothy, this young minister, not to be given to wine. So hope that helps. Stay online, Carol, and send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. If you want to be part of the program, let's go to Caesar in Oakland, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have a question regarding, me and my wife are very concerned about our current church because, you know, during the events of the George Floyd thing that happened last year, things started to change visibly. They started to hold a night of lament, and they put some, you know, links in the website to those influencers who, you know, many of them Christians who even were praising those who were causing all the burning and the looting. So we got concerns. So we got a meeting with the pastor and asked him, what's going on here? Why is this happening? And he said, what does bother you? And he said, you know, putting, you know, those links of those people who are praising the burning of the police stations and things like that.
Oh, that's terrible.
And he said, okay, we'll have a meeting to see what about that. And so, yeah, we had a meeting with some of the leaders and we decided not to remove it. But I can tell you that we are not going to focus on anything that has to do with this racial issues and anything like that. And as for him, they never actually spoke about that during any message, any Sunday or anything at all. They also made it clear that they do not support Black Lives Matter organization at all. But then in the website, they still say, you know, on our belief that they actually promote anti-racism. So that word also rings the alarm for me. So how concerned should I be? Anti-racism, is it linked to wokeness? I'm not 100% sure because I don't...
Well, there's a couple different movements out there that are pretty goofy. Jeff, tell us about them.
Well, you got to watch out for woke, because woke is something, you know, there's woke churches and there's woke businesses. A lot of the corporations, major American corporations, are going woke. And what it means is that you're buying into Black Lives Matter. You're buying into the critical race theory. You're buying into things that when you study critical race theory, for instance, is a terribly cancerous philosophy. If you had asked me a year ago, what is the most dangerous philosophy to invade the American mind? I would have told you political correctness. But I will tell you now, it's critical race theory. Critical race theory is, if you subscribe to it, then you believe that if a person is white, they are racist. And if they say they're not racist, then that proves they're racist. And it's being taught in schools. It's causing incredible turmoil in schools all over America and in corporations. We remember also President Trump banning critical race theory from being taught to the military. And he came under heavy fire for that because he was accused of being racist for standing up against it. But critical race theory is not racial sensitivity. That's not what it's teaching. It's teaching racism itself. It demands that if you're white, you're racist, like I said, and that America was built on racism. And the whole reason that America came about was to propagate slavery. It teaches that we were not birthed as a nation to get out from under King George and England. And we wanted religious freedom. We wanted to worship the way we wanted to worship. And it was motivations like that that caused so many to leave England and come to America and birth this great country. Oh, but no, it wasn't that. It was that we wanted to propagate slavery, and that America is inherently evil. And being inherently evil, it needs to be totally deconstructed and reconstructed. And so it's a very, very
demonic
ideology.
It's demonic because it's all a lie. It's all a lie.
It is. And so, Caesar, you're right to be concerned, because some of the verbiage that you just said was being put on the church's website sounds like Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter is Marxist. They are a hate group. People are so afraid to say that in America, but you shouldn't be. Black Lives Matter is a hate group. They are confessedly Marxist. The leaders have come out and said, we have been trained in Marxist ideology. We are Marxist trained. They hate America. They hate the nuclear family. They hate the values that America was built on, the Judeo-Christian ethic, and they are Marxist. So I would be real careful. If it looks like your church is going woke, that's what it means. It means probably critical race theory, and it means also the BLM, you know, being empathetic to the BLM movement. And any true believer should stand against BLM. Do we love all races? Listen, I don't even believe there are races. We're all from the same family. We're all from the same couple, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I think race is maybe not the greatest word. We have different skin pigmentation, but we're all human beings. If you stick anybody on earth with a pin, red blood comes out. We're all human beings. So I'm really wary, and everybody should be, of this whole racial division that is being sown into America by things like BLM, critical race theory, and the woke movement. Mike?
Yeah, and if your church is involved in it, personally, I would leave as quickly as possible. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Yeah, it does help. Yeah.
Yeah, Caesar, and I would tell him why you're leaving. I would tell the pastor, just say, you know what, you're off. If you're promoting the burning of police stations, you're really, really screwed up in the head, because that's the only thing that's keeping anarchy from taking over, because people aren't law-abiding anymore. You know, during the 30s, people were somewhat law-abiding during the Depression. People aren't law-abiding anymore. You take away the police, you're going to have crazy stuff going on. Now, just because you get a couple of bad cops that do some bad things to a few people, that doesn't mean that every cop is bad. I've been in a lot of restaurants, and I got sick one time in a restaurant in California on Whittier Boulevard. And I went and ate a shrimp dinner, and it came back, and it wasn't good. I'm never going to eat at another restaurant and burn all the restaurants down. Really? That's the same insane logic that goes along with this. So you have to understand that the Communist Party that has infiltrated America, and again, Nikita Khrushchev said in 1957, he said, we will bury you, speaking of America. They had a plan infiltrating into America, not to overthrow us with bullets and guns, but to overthrow us ideologically through the college professors, through the schools of America, and through, I believe, the churches now that are being invaded with all this stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Now, again, remember, Marxism is, there is no God. The state is God. It isn't a government by the people and for the people. The government controls your life. Look at this. I got this right here. This is China's new three-child policy. Womb police still in business in China, because they say, well, you're limited to three children, and if you have more, well, you have to execute it. Yeah, that's China. Same place where we got the COVID-19. Yeah, they hate life. There's something wrong with these people. Because you see, oh, and by the way, in reading this, they really aren't big on baby girls. They're big on men. You see, because men are the worker bees. You see, that's part of the communist way, you know. And by the way, all you latte drinkers out there that sit around and diss on America all day in your coffee shops, let me just tell you something. When the communists finally take over and they have bought your conscience off, in other words, vote for me, everything is free. Now we're so far in debt, we can't possibly survive. Well, now, latte drinkers, you're going to have to go to work. That's right. You're going to have to go get a job, and they'll tell you what job you're going to take. You see, you probably won't even have that freedom. Certainly, it's not that way in China. Read it. And if you say, well, I don't want to work, well, they have an alternative plan for you. It's called execution. And if you're too old to work or you're too sick to work, COVID-19 covers it all from Wuhan, China. And by the way, the American news media and Joe Biden launching a full investigation on where did COVID-19 come from. Well, Joe, we've known for a couple of years now where it came from. Yeah, that's right. We've all known it. But now you have to rewrite history to make communism not look so bad. Communism's really good, man. It's really good. And even though COVID-19 came from Wuhan, China, what can we do? We'll change history. That's it. And we'll come up with something. I am waiting to hear what they're going to come up with. But they're going to move it out of China. They're going to move it away from the Communist Party. Because again, while America is making vaccines for, you know, tetanus and these other things, no, in the communist world, if you're too old or sick to work, we'll invent a disease to take you out. So that's the way it works. Oh, yeah, they were the dreamers and those that sat around and talked about, oh, you know, when finally the socialistic government takes over, we're going to be so good. Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah, you bought the Kool-Aid, man. You're going to be the first to go. You college professors, by the way, that are teaching this in your schools, you're going to be the first to go, as it was in Cuba, as it was in Venezuela, as it was in Russia, as it was in China. Because what happens is, soon as you're going to be the first to know, communism, socialism is a big joke. It's a big lie. And you're going to be the first to know it. But we can't have you influencing the kids and saying, hey, I taught this for like the last 20 years and it's a lie. They execute the teachers first. You see, one thing about history, when you don't study it, it will come back and bite you. And when you don't study real history, you study about how bad America is and how slavery. Do you know where slavery came from in America? Do you know who the importers of slavery was? It was England. That's where the slave trader boats were coming from. They would send their boats down there. They would pick up the slaves and bring them over and sell them in America. Oh, yeah, that's the truth. But you don't hear about that because, see, they're rewriting history. That's what they have to do to sell their lie to America. And, you know, the people in America, this KGB agent that we played a video of, his defected, he said, these people are so brainwashed. Speaking of people in America are so brainwashed. If you were to take them to a gulag in Russia, they still wouldn't believe you. That's how brainwashed they are. Yep. So when you see Antifa burning down Portland and Seattle and these other places, and when you see all this, just remember it's part of their plan. And again, it's infiltrated now into the church with these crazy things, WOOC and all this other stuff. Be careful of it. Move away. I think you'll do yourself a lot of good. Hope that helps. And again, God bless you. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And with that, we will go to Bob, Santa Monica, California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike. I love your show. And boy, are you guys a fresh air here in Southern California. I know this is kind of complicated, but I've been having trouble being a conservative and finding a church here in L.A. I've had one church tell me that if I support a president or a border wall, I can never be a Christian. I had another church that was telling us that we need to give them money so we could help pay illegal aliens legal bills paying that are facing deportation. So I've been trying to find other churches, and most of the churches here on the west side of L.A. all have these banners in support of BLM. And I'm really getting to the point where I'm almost ready to give up on trying to find a church.
Your thoughts. We're almost out of time. We got about a minute. Your thoughts, Jeff.
Well, Bob, I feel for you. You're a stranger in a strange land, and there's no doubt about it. And, you know, all I can say is we'll pray for you. L.A. is so leftist, so liberal. You're sort of in the cesspool of it all. And, you know, if you pray and pray and you can't find a church, well, in the meantime, listen to CSN, because one thing we're not going to do at CSN, we are not going to go woke. We are not going to go left. We are not going to go critical race theory. We're not going to go any of that. We're going to stay with the scriptures. And you're right in looking for the kind of church you need, because what you just described them saying to you is totally unbiblical. There's no biblical foundation for what they told you, as far as if you don't support, if you do support a wall, you're not a Christian. That's not true at all. That's woke talking to you. Stay with the Bible. God will bless you with a church sooner or later.
And Jeff, isn't it interesting? In heaven, there's a wall around the New Jerusalem, and we know the pearls are the gates and all that. So, yeah. There you go. So, Jeff, hey, thanks. Yeah. Bob, stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of until tomorrow. God bless you. Joe, call us back. We'll put you on first thing.
To learn more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.